We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. You can email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to help you out. And Bob Shorey also is here. He's an MCSC that works with us at Tab. He's been there, been with us over a decade, and he comes in and helps me out with your questions as well. Couple things in the news you might have heard, or maybe you remember, back in 2015, the FCC saved us from the internet because clearly it was broken back then, and they implemented net neutrality laws that treated the internet like a utility, like an electronic, like an electric utility or like a water utility. And they said in these rules that all traffic on the internet must be treated equally. And man, that sounds just so lovely. It just sounds right, doesn't it? It should all be treated equally. Of course, that sounds nice, but it's not how the world works when it comes to moving packets. If FedEx treated your packets equally, how fast would you get them? Right? Basically, the internet works on data packets, and some packets need to be prioritized, just like your FedEx packet. And the same way FedEx works is they'll charge you more if it has to get there faster and if it's bigger. Nobody's telling them to stop doing that. If they did, what would you end up with? The post office. How fast does your stuff get to you from the post office?
Well, my flowers from Pro Flowers wouldn't be they'd be kind of wilted, I think.
So net neutrality, in 2015, they decided to fix the internet that Al Gore created and clearly was broken. And influence these, put in place these new laws that said all packets must be treated equally. And gosh, that sounds so warm and fuzzy. Now, of course, with the new administration, there is someone, a different chairman involved, and he was against these net neutrality rules from the get-go, Ajit Pai. And he likes a more market-driven approach to the internet. And just so you know, data packets have to be treated differently. By default, they have to be treated differently, right? If you have voice over IP packets for your phone system and you don't treat those with a higher quality of service than your data packets, your phone system sounds like this because it's behind the data packets, right? You have to prioritize that data. So the folks who regulate the internet, government folks, don't know how it works, but they want to use a nice warm and fuzzy sound of everything's treated equally. And you buy into it, and of course. But what that does is, of course, brings everything down to the lowest common denominator, and nobody has any reason to innovate or improve things because the government says you can't.
Well, I would argue that if you get enough contributions from a lobbyist, anybody right. can be an expert.
So, again, I am not a fan of the internet broadband companies. I am not a fan of Comcast, Cox, or those guys. But I do completely understand their need to be allowed to get paid. If Netflix wants to send their stuff faster to you, they should get paid to do it because they have to build a network to allow it. And if you don't want to pay for that performance, there should be some bare minimum that you get, i.e. the post office. So if we don't allow for this type of competition and innovation, we're going to of course hold ourselves back thanks to regulations, and the network will not be improved. What you need to have happen, folks, in government, is allow for more competition between these guys. Right now, you let Comcast have their own little territory, and Cox have their own little territory. And the only competition is DSL. Well, that's not competition. So we're not getting any improvements there as far as pressures to push down the cost and pressures to deal with competition and speed. Fiber is coming around, but you got to allow these companies to start putting these fiber lines in faster to compete with Cox and Comcast and all those guys, because we need that competition.
Well, if you can't charge a little more to ship a refrigerator versus, you know, a box of bananas,
right,
then how are you going to make enough money to improve the infrastructure?
Right. So I'm in agreement that these net neutrality rules need to go away. Again, it wasn't broken before. Let's get rid of these things before it becomes a problem. And we just wanted to explain that to you. I'll put a link up there from CNN talking a little bit about the fact that if anybody had any doubt that these net neutrality rule changes were going to be coming, that doubt should go away. They are going to change them back to more open. Yes, it's nice and warm and fuzzy that all packets should be treated equally, but that's really not how FedEx works, UPS works, or even the post office has their own priority mail, for crying out loud. Well, so they treat their packets differently as well.
But that's not how TCPIP, you know, the protocols that the internet uses, were designed in the first place.
They're designed to be managed.
Correct.
Yeah, that's the whole point. So moving on, anything else you want to bring up, Bob? Did you have an article you want to talk about?
Yeah. Ridley Scott, he's the director of the Aliens, the original Alien movie.
Yes. Yeah.
And then they have a new one out, Aliens Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they did an interview. He's got a CNET article here, and it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So he was talking about if we met aliens,
then
they didn't like us.
Right.
They could take us out in about 3 seconds.
That's Ridley Scott, the director, telling you this.
So, yeah.
Ah,
so that's what he believes.
All right.
And he came to that conclusion because he was talking to some NASA expert who said that when you look up in the sky and you see all the stars and universes and galaxies and what have you out there, can you really believe that we are it in terms of intelligent life?
Right.
So the other question would be, are we really that intelligent? But that's for a different
day. Was that in that same article?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I've heard that argument made so many times, I just had to put it in there.
Okay.
Anyway, he isn't alone in his fear. Stephen Hawking himself has mused that aliens might loathe the very sight of us. He too fears that nomadic aliens might crush us, because that's just what nomadic aliens do.
Is that what really Hawking said?
Yes. So my question is how does Stephen Hawking know
what nomadic
aliens do?
He's just so smart.
But it's a very interesting article, and it's worth watching. There's a little video that goes with it.
I mean, there's just as much chance of nomadic aliens coming over to the planet and saying, oh, what a cute little race there. Let's see if we can help them out.
What if they is us?
Yeah, right?
Because we're exploring space. We're at the very beginning of it.
Yeah, we could be nomadic aliens.
We're going to crash a rover into Saturn.
Heck, Mars could have these microscopic little, you know, just think about Superman, right? Didn't he have that little terrarium planet where everyone was so teeny weeny? What was that? You remember talking about? Come on, you're a geek.
Oh, come on. You're talking about, what was it?
Those little tiny people inside the terrarium. I mean, Mars could be completely inhabited with them. Yeah. We're going to land on there and be stepping on them like ants. Who knows?
That was, it'll come
to me. What are they called? I can't think of it.
It was with that guy, science fiction guy.
Yes. But the point is, who's a nomadic alien, right? Is it us? Is it them? I don't know. Yeah. Hopefully we're all just nice to each other.
We had several episodes on it.
Twilight
Zone.
Are there?
The Twilight Zone, yeah.
Well, I remember that it was a cookbook in the Twilight Zone
episode. Well, there were several. There was the one where there were larger people that had little people that were us that was in a little terrarium, like you said.
Yeah.
And then there was like a shot, we went up to another planet and landed, and we were giants.
Yeah.
So then a guy discovers this little micro, like ant-like people that were just like us, but they were the size of ants.
Yeah.
And so he became a god, and he was like crushing them.
Yeah.
And then another alien landed on it that was
even
proportionally
bigger.
Stepped on him by accident and then picked up his body and said, oh, look at this. Yeah, it's interesting, but he's dead.
Yeah.
Throws him off to the side.
Oh, well. Be afraid, be very afraid, according to Ridley Scott and Stephen Hawking.
Yeah. Well,
we have enough to worry about. The nomadic aliens.
Use that to segue into the car maker, Audi.
Uh huh.
Okay, they created a moon rover. They entered a competition.
Nice.
Google's Lunar X Prize competition, as a matter of fact.
Neat.
okay, so to where they could win a prize.
Yeah.
Okay, if they could develop a moon rover, an automated moon rover.
Yeah, cool.
Which they built, and I think they won the competition.
Okay.
Anyway.
So we're going to shoot it up there?
The goal was to build a rover that could cover 500 meters of lunar surface while sending high-definition photos back home.
Hmm.
It weighs just 66 pounds, and its 85% aluminum frame was constructed in part using Audi's 3D printing process.
Oh, neat. They printed
it
over.
So that was pretty cool. And there's a picture of it in there. And actually, there's a film clip that you can watch. We'll put a link to this.
Yeah.
But it actually makes its debut in the Alien Covenant film.
Interesting. You know, I was listening to a story about, you know, all the space junk that's up there. And you think about it. I mean, obviously scientists are involved in making sure things are, you know, evolving and doing better for the planet. But they're awful messy. I mean, they really didn't care. They just dump stuff out in space everywhere. There's so much space junk up there that it's become a hazard. I mean, it's almost like the whole swirling plastic thing in the Pacific Ocean. I mean, you would think these guys would be a little more conscious of the ecology of space, you know, and just leave their junk everywhere. Maybe add another step where you're at least figuring out ways of capturing your space garbage. But it is an interesting problem if you're going to keep sending so much stuff up there. You got this new Audi being shot into space up there. How much junk is going to be left behind to shoot a rover in space just because you printed it on aluminum? I'm just asking. Well, it just doesn't seem very, conscientious when it comes to leaving your garbage everywhere.
They had a show in the 80s, and I'm trying to figure out what the name of it is, that where a bunch of people went up, and it was their job to collect space junk.
Oh, well. There's another industry out there for you guys.
Andy Griffith had a movie about it, too.
All right. Well, we'll step out for a quick break. We got a couple lines open for you. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Maybe we can give Elon Musk $1 billion of our tax dollars to clean up space. So we'll step out for a quick break. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And do you think nomadic aliens are going to kill us in 3 seconds like Stephen Hawking? That's the question on the table. No, I'm just kidding. let's get to your calls. We got better things to talk about, I hope. Let's go on to Mike in Enfield with an issue. Morning, Mike.
Good morning.
What can we do for you, sir?
Well, let's see. I don't know whether it's put up by a nomadic alien, but I've got a very ambiguous message box randomly appears, and it's frequent.
All right.
It says a script on this page may be busy, or it may have stopped responding. You can stop the script now, open the script in the debugger, or let the script continue.
Right. You're using Mozilla Firefox?
Yes.
Okay, so that's basically an issue with the web page you're going to that's seeing some sort of script problem, or you're blocking it with maybe a tool like a ad blocker, and it's failing, which is what you want. You don't want the ad, let's say.
Right.
It only happens on certain sites, I assume.
Actually, it only pops up on my desktop. I'm not necessarily going to any web page.
But it does relate to Mozilla. Or is it just random? Do you have any reference to Mozilla Firefox when it pops up?
No. In fact, I don't know whether Mozilla is running at the time, but the script is it gives a URL, but it's Google syndication and something and the rest of the URL.
Okay,
I would argue that one of your browsers, whether it's Mozilla or Edge or Internet Explorer or Google Chrome, needs an update to be able to handle the latest scripting.
It could be that. We also have a link here from Mozilla support, because when I put that into my search here, Mozilla popped up 15 times as the issue.
Okay.
Do you have a Spy Sweeper as an antivirus running?
I use malware and
okay. That's good. So that's not it. So the Spy Sweeper could cause this issue as well. We can put a link up here for some of the things that you can try. You know, updating obviously is always a good choice that Bob mentioned, but let's see if this unresponsive script, you can correct it here. And you follow these steps that we're going to put up for you on Computer Talk and see if that solves it. I don't think it's anything to quote-unquote worry about. It could also be some sort of Google, you know, maybe Google's trying to speak, connect back to the mothership and say, hey, Mike's been going here, Mike's been going there. You know how Google's trying to help you all the time.
Well, it's very ambiguous because I can continue or not continue. I can.
Yeah, it's not anything dangerous. It's just some sort of a problem with the script that they're trying to run, and it's not being allowed to run. And it could be you've got something in place preventing it from running, which could be in your favor. But we'll talk about this. This link talks about how to deal with this unresponsive script. And okay. It has mostly to do with Mozilla Firefox, and that's the browser that you use, correct?
Right.
So I'm going to assume something's going on there and see if it has a connection, Mike, and see if you can follow these instructions to clear it up. I wouldn't be too worried about it, per se.
Okay. There's also a box on here that says, don't ask me this.
Don't ask this again?
Yeah, right.
And what do you click?
I just leave it blank.
Oh, well, you could always tell it to stop asking you, too.
Okay.
That's okay.
Okay.
See if that works. That'd be the easiest solution. Stop asking me.
Well, I just didn't want to, you know...
break anything?
No, be neglecting something that should be attended.
I understand. No, I understand. Trust me. This is the part of the problem with phishing schemes and other schemes that are out there, because users have exactly the same mentality as you. You think it's something you have to deal with, and then, but you don't know what to do. You don't know what answer to give, and you kind of are paralyzed in the middle. So
right.
You could say, no, I don't want to see it anymore.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe I'll do that.
Yeah, try that. That'd be the easiest fix, Mike.
I think so.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it is an issue when it comes to some of these warnings that come up, and they don't tell you what the heck's going on. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC. 522-WTIC, and we'll do our best to get to your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. We have three lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's get to John in Windsor, who's got a question before the bottom of the hour. Hey, John. You there, John? John going once. He's listening on the delay. You there, John? Hey, John. I know you hear me. You're in the area.
Hi, how are you?
There you are. Turn your radio down, John.
Okay.
Because it'll confuse you with the delay going on. So what's going on? Let's get your question on before
the
break.
I'm interested in cutting the cable, and then I was looking online, and there was a thing on TickBox.
All right.
I don't know if you know anything about a TickBox TV.
Not TickBox.
TickTick. And then Box TV.
I'll take a look at it.
And it says you get all the channels. It sounds too good to be true, so I wanted to know if it's legit or any other suggestions you have.
Yeah, let me take a peek while you're on hold here, and we'll get right back to you, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
We're going to hold you through the news, all right?
All right.
All right, we're going to hold John through the news in Windsor. Three lines open for you if you have ideas about kicking cable. Cutting the cable. Feel free to get online too. Maybe you can help out with this call. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to be here at 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have a few lines wide open, as is usually the case in the first hour of the program. But by the second hour, you guys are all awake. Bob and I have to get up early and get in here. You guys are all sleeping in. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're on with John in Windsor. Hey, John, you still there? John, you still there? He's listening on the stream again. Or he's listening on the delay. John, pick up, please. He's looking he's looking to cut the cable, and he brought up a product called TickBox, TickBox. And so we're checking it out a little bit here, John. I think it's possibly legal. I don't know. It's they'll tell you their product is legal, but I got a feeling it might be too good to be true, and you may not actually get the stations you're interested in.
Right. They have everything on there, so you know.
Yeah, that's what it says. So for the price, I think it was $80 for the device. You can go ahead and get access to all sorts of stuff. Even things that are still on the pay-per-view cable services are available on this tick box. Seems too good to be true to me, but if you look at other technologies out there, you know, Sling TV, Roku, Apple TV, there's many others out there that allow you to cut the cable and not pay for the cable broadcast anymore the way you're paying for it through the nose like the rest of us are. I mean, we're all interested in cutting cable. However, just so you know, just to give you a heads-up warning, as we start streaming more through the internet connection that the cable company is providing, they're going to start charging you by the megabit. So they're going to get you coming or going, is what I'm saying. There's a benefit to obviously being able to watch what you want to watch, so they're charging you only for the megabits you're using or needing. Rather than having you pay for, let's say, the Yes Network if you're a Red Sox fan, or vice versa, like we all do now. Maybe you have why are you supporting the Yankees channel when you're a Red Sox fan? That's sacrilegious, right? But you got to do it because it's part of your bundle that they are allowed to sell you.
Yeah, it's all right this week because they're playing the Red Sox.
Exactly. Although that's not going so well for the Red Sox.
So my comment would be,
yes.
If you do decide to risk $89.95 this week or this month.
On the tick box?
On the tick box.
Yeah.
Call us back and tell us how it works.
Yeah.
To you.
Yeah, we definitely would be interested.
How happy you are with it.
I don't know. Where is the company based out of? Are they foreign or?
I don't know.
It says it's a limited company, so I assume that means it's foreign.
Oh, really?
At the bottom of their page, yeah, it says tick box.
There's no contact information as far as knowing where it is.
It says copyright 27, flixmain.com, limited. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to check them out. Supposedly it turns your TV into a smart TV.
Yeah.
I was reading.
That's pretty much what every device does from a Chromecast. You know, a little Chromecast does the exact same thing. You know, $35 Chromecast can get you these types of services. You could stream Netflix. You could stream Sling. You could do all sorts. I think Sling. You could do all sorts of things through a Chromecast. It turns any TV into a smart TV, and that's $35. But this is a very slick site that Tickbox has. I've never heard of it until you brought it up. I don't know.
They advertise on Facebook, and I just can't get a lot of information on them. So,
yeah,
I think I might go with one of the other suggestions that you have. Which one would be the best?
Sling is what we've seen to be one of the more, it seems more realistic. It's you can choose the channels you want within the packages, and again, we're not marketing or anything for the company, but it's like I think it's $20 a month, and you can get all sorts of channels that you might be interested in. So, and of course, then you add that with an antenna, so you can get your local stations an HD antenna, and you cut the cable. Say bye bye to cable bill.
Okay, I don't think I'm gonna take a chance on Tickbox. It's okay.
I hear you. It seems a little too good to be true, doesn't it?
Right, and you can't check them out, so.
Yeah, well, maybe somebody else in the listening area has used TickBox and could call in. I mean, it's a 50,000-watt flamethrower we're on.
I'm Googling, TickBox TV reviews, and I'm just going through some of it, but I really don't have enough time to, get a feel for how it is yet. So all I can do is kind of go through that and comment on it maybe later.
Well, the only thing that's really that we always use, because obviously fake news, right? Fake news is everywhere. So you got to make sure, who are you reading? Who has a monetary reason to put a positive review out or a negative review out? The thing about TickBox is I don't see any of the major technology sources that we would use even mentioning them. Right? That's one clue to me or one little warning sign that says, wait a minute. If big companies like CNET or any of these companies don't have any kind of commenting on tick box at all, I would be a little nervous about it. They should have something yay or nay about it. If they are completely silent on it, all you find is these weird, obscure websites that talk about it, and that doesn't make me feel any warm and fuzzy about the material. So, but we could be all wet. Who knows?
Yeah, if you do get information, maybe you can post it on your webpage.
We'll do so.
Thank you so much.
You got it, John.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The Texas Aggies have a comment here.
The Texas Aggies?
Yeah.
What?
I'm on their website.
Okay.
It says, these TV boxes are $40 Android boxes loaded with Kodi, and it does mention Kodi.
Yeah, Kodi's an app that does
and
the same
it's
thing.
It's an app that links to pirate streams. The streams eventually get shut down, and the app has to be updated to load new streams. Without knowing what app is being used, you have no idea if they just stop updating it one day. So more than likely, someone tech-savvy will have to update the box.
Constantly.
Yeah.
To deal with these streams. Yeah, it just seems too good to be true.
Yeah, it's...
All right. We're going to feel free to get online, guys. We have four lines wide open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. But as we're waiting for you guys to get online, Facebook and Google have confirmed that they've been victims of a $100 million phishing scam. So phishing scams affect everybody, right? Many of us have been victims of a phishing scheme. And basically, that's when somebody tricks you into giving up your password or wiring money where you shouldn't be wiring it. And last month, the Department of Justice charged a Lithuanian man, just some guy in his underwear in his living room in Lithuania, who has been basically scamming Google and Facebook. And what they've done is he scammed them for over $100 million by masquerading as a Taiwanese electronics manufacturer. And Forbes has the article this week. And basically, both companies confirmed that their employees, these are the smart folks at Facebook and Google, the smartest IT geeks on the planet, right, were tricked by Evaldus Rimasak. I don't know. He forged emails, addresses, invoices, and contracts, and basically tricked both Facebook and Google into paying for electronic supplies they never got, of course, and sending them payments to bank accounts in Latvia, Cyprus, Hong Kong, Slovenia, Hungary, and Lithuania. And this guy is basically looking at a 20-year prison sentence per count for each count of wire fraud. So basically... You know, $100 million, he probably did, I don't know, many thousands of transactions, so he'll just get a slap on the wrist. Because if we really cared about this stuff, this guy would rot in prison forever, right? But that's obviously just so harsh. You know, he didn't mean to do it. He was just sitting in his underwear stealing money from Facebook and Google. They've got so much money. You know, why should we punish these guys? If we really did punish these guys, really punish these guys, they'd stop doing it. Because we know who he is, where he is, and what he did. I guarantee you he's not going to prison for very long, even though 20 years per each count. But it just goes to show that even Google and Facebook can be tricked out of hundreds of millions of dollars by somebody in his underwear in Lithuania on the internet. Let's move on to your calls. Danny in Glastonbury's got some discussions. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, I just want to let you know there's a good SpaceX launch tomorrow morning.
Yeah?
At 7 o'clock from Cape Canaveral.
Okay, cool.
With the first stage returning back to the Cape and landing back at the Cape. And it's the first time they've launched a military satellite.
Oh, boy.
For the National Reconnaissance Organization.
Is there a video that we can watch it going up?
Well, yeah, there'll be video. And the good thing about SpaceX is they've got a lot of cameras on the rocket itself, so... They show you live streaming, you know, looking back down, looking up, looking out, looking over.
Yeah, and they seem to be a little more, you know, conscientious of their space junk, right? They bring their stuff back down to Earth.
They do. They're even recovering their fairings and reusing the fairings, you know, which is the shield that goes over the nose that covers whatever they're putting in orbit because it has to be aerodynamic. So they're even recovering those.
So they'll watch where it goes and falls to the Earth? Oh, nice. Yeah,
they got little trackers on them and parachutes coming out of them now, and they're recovering them instead of just letting them break up and float around.
And NASA would just dump them in the ocean, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's a big ocean.
Well, wait a minute. I thought we're supposed to take care of the planet. We're supposed to be stewards.
We are. Hey, you know, speaking of space junk, remember I told you about that Japanese company that's making that netting?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Remember that the company that's been making fishing nets for a couple hundred years? They're like the premier fishing net company in Japan.
Yeah.
And they're making netting out of woven titanium and Kevlar.
So they're going to shoot that into space.
And they're going to drag a big net in between two probes.
Nice.
And try to collect debris and then bring it back down out of orbit and let it burn up coming back in.
All right. So who's going to pay for that recycling? That's going to be a serious incineration job.
Quark's going to do it.
Hopefully burn up.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, only small pieces will hit you in the head.
All right, Danny. So 7 in the morning, you said?
What's that?
7:30, you said?
Yeah, no, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. And if you go, SpaceX has their own YouTube channel.
Okay, there it is.
For all their broadcasts. And if you go to space.com,
yep.
They always have a link to SpaceX launches.
Awesome.
Or NASA TV may have it.
All right, we'll put a link up there.
All right.
Thanks,
okay,
Danny.
Bye.
We're going to step out for a quick break. Dave and Tolland, hang on. Three lines open for you on this lovely Saturday morning, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about, we're posting off to our old Computer Talk with Tab website. We think it's working. We did a lot of testing this week, this new page, and we think it's working. If it's not, of course, it will be up there. Then you've got Facebook, of course. And if you follow us on Twitter, you can get them as well. All the links will be there for you. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. A couple lines open this morning. And generally by around the 10 o'clock hour, the lines are all jammed up. So this is your chance. Let's go on to Dave and Tolland. Dave, what's going on?
Well, I got a very fast-racing fan at times. It's not all the time, but
mm-hmm.
but it's very annoying. And
yes.
My wife gave me a site, and I don't know where it is, but you can make it go away.
Well, I'm not sure what that means, because basically when these fans kick up, they're doing it because your CPU is overheating, and it needs to cool your system, so it's protecting you.
Uh-huh.
And how old is the machine, Dave?
Not as old as I, but it's old.
Does your wife keep a clean house? Just kidding. If it gets caked up with dust inside the machine, then what happens is the cooling is less and less effective. So if you've just noticed this occurring now with your older machine, it could just be due to the fact that your system is caked with dust, and you probably need to give it a little vacuum carefully.
Use canned air.
You think canned air?
Canned air.
I don't like canned air because it produces condensation, but that's just me.
Well, not really. No, canned air is... it's a refrigerant is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it blasts out a pretty good stream of, it's not air, it's refrigerant.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be safe, and I'm doing air quotes
here. I know you are.
Safe refrigerant.
Yeah.
You take the outer box off?
You take the outer box off, unplug it, of course, unplug everything, note where everything was plugged in, maybe take a picture of it with your smartphone, note where everything was plugged in, take it all apart. Open the outer box and then blow it out, as Bob is saying, or carefully vacuum it out with a vacuum in the plastic end, not the metal end of the vacuum, very gingerly, because this is an old machine, right? So we're nervous that if it's been sitting there for a while and you start jostling stuff, and it may not work the way it used to when you're all done.
Well, the other thing it could be, too, is it could be that you have a case fan that's starting to fail.
Right.
And that could be making noise. I mean, that happens quite a lot. We replace quite a few of them.
Yeah, we add extra
fans.
What is that called? A case fan. It's a fan that might be built into the front or back of your machine or both. It aids in moving air. It sucks it across from the front generally and pushes it out the back or vice versa, depending on which airflow is required for your case. So it could be failing. And those are cheap to replace. I mean, $10.
Yeah.
Depends.
Yeah, you can find them anywhere from $2 and up.
Yeah. So most likely you've got some dust in there that it's causing an overheating issue. Your fan is kicking up and saying, I need to cool this down. Or like Bob's saying, you've got a fan that's failing.
And it isn't enough to take the vacuum
It could be enough.
Go through the side, you know, where the...
Oh, you can try to get some air out of there. But sometimes, depending on how dusty... or how old your machine is, that stuff can really cake on those heat sink fins Mm-hmm. If you look at a, they have fins on them, and the dust gets inside them and sticks inside them, and it kind of reduces the efficacy of the fins, and you have to take the dust out of there. So pulling it from a distance like that wouldn't work. You're not going to produce enough.
The other thing you can do
negative
is
atmospheres.
One of my little tricks that I use is I'll look at the fans, and I'll use a pen or something, and I'll actually physically stop the fan from rotating and see if the noise stops. Then I know that the fan is going bad.
Remember how you used to stick your finger in the fan in your house there? Or you trick your brother to use his tongue or his nose or something like that?
No,
don't do that with your tongue or your nose, but Bob recommends a pen.
All right.
All right, Dave.
Sounds good.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
So, yeah, so if you're not keeping a clean house, I'm just kidding.
It doesn't matter how clean your house is. There's dust everywhere.
I'm just kidding. I just saw a Rossin report on dust mites, and dusts are everywhere.
If you have an oily environment, that oil can stick to the fans and cause the dust to stick to the fan blades.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could just have a high humidity amount that causes the moisture in the air to stick to the fan blades, which causes the dust to stick to the fan blades.
And the older it is, the longer it's had a chance to build up and cake up. So, yeah, we recommend extra fans and trying to keep it clean. Let's go to Bill in East Hartford. He's got a question. Hey, Bill.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I have a Netgear router that I bought, I don't know, in November last year, but it seems to shut off at night. After I shut off my computer, and then I can't get, you know, Wi-Fi on my phone when I get up in the morning. Or
it powers it. You notice it powers off?
Well, the Wi-Fi dies during the night somehow, and I can't get on it.
Okay.
My phone, but my computer still works because I have it
hardwired.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would contend that at some point somebody went in there and turned the schedule on.
Right.
Most of them have like a schedule, so you can turn your internet or your wireless on and off on a schedule.
And that's designed so that you can keep your kids from sitting up at night till all hours of the morning on the internet. You can kill their access by just turning it off.
And there's a default schedule that usually is not checked, but if you check the box, it'll kind of create that for you.
Right. So do you know how to get into your configuration, Bill?
Configuration of the router?
Yes, sir.
I don't know.
Okay.
I play around with it a lot. I think maybe I might have done something because I was trying to find out if I had open DNS on my router.
You wouldn't have it on your router unless you put it there.
Well, right. I think I put it on something. I don't know if it's the computer or the router.
Well, the router. So this is great. So you've been in the configuration. Then you've gone in and browsed to 192.168.1.1 most likely.
Yeah.
And you logged into your router, and you went in to configure OpenDNS. You want to go to the DHCP server settings and configure the DNS settings to be the OpenDNS ones to hand them off through DHCP. But then you need to look at your schedule because most likely you checked a box, like Bob said, and you've turned off the Wi-Fi at whatever time and night that you're noticing it going off.
And that would be in the router schedule?
Yes, sir. That's what's giving you the Wi-Fi, because I assume it's a wireless router, right?
Yeah, it's one of these Netgears.
Yep.
You know what? They got this Genie program that you have to use to set it up.
You don't have to.
No?
No. So if you go and look at the manual, the Genie program is designed for folks who are not that technical, but you can still get into trouble, as you can see.
Yeah.
You should be able to go to the manual. If you can't find the manual or if you think you lost it, just Google the make and model of your device, and you should find a PDF manual out there on the internet. It's most likely at Netgear, and it'll give you the ability to, or it'll explain to you how to browse through your browser to your gateway IP address, which is most likely 192.168.1.1.
Yeah,
you're gonna browse to it. It's gonna ask you for a username and password, which you set up and didn't leave as default. Otherwise, I can get into it right now.
No, I have changed everything.
Good. So you're going to log in to your firewall and go check the schedule for Wi-Fi and then take a look at what you're handing out for DNS settings in your DHCP server of that router. All right?
Now, on that Genie program, if there's something you click on it, it shows all your devices.
Yeah.
But they all have that 1.1. Whatever
it is. That's the gateway. Right, that's your gateway. That's how you're getting on the internet.
Okay, but I didn't see that 2.222. to at the end? Or the
you wouldn't see it. You would have to do an IP config forward slash all from a DOS prompt to see what your full...
Yeah, not.
You want to hold for a second and we can go through that with you.
Well,
we have to go to...
I'm going to... Today, you know what? Today it worked for some reason. I had called up one of these places. They want to charge you $90.
I know.
No, I'll go buy. I'd rather buy another one.
All right, Bill. We got to go. Unless you want to hold on through another question.
Yeah, I got one more question.
All right, hang on then. We're going to hold you through the news. Hang on to Bill. Feel free to get online. Three lines open for you. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.